Please stand this morning as we hear the gospel message read, taken from the book of John. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Much. Wow, it is so great out there today. I think we probably ought to worship outside today. And I would suggest we do that, but as sure as I'm standing here, if we go outside, you'd all blow away. And I'd be talking to myself. Well, I do that sometimes anyway, don't I? It's good to see you. It's spring break. I love spring break. For people who get spring break. Yeah. Well, spring actually began Friday morning. I think it's 7-something Friday morning. And it really was ushered in with a great temperature, great climate experience here in Colorado. But this is spring in Colorado, so don't hold your breath. It'll be in the 70s today. And what is it, in the 40s or 50s tomorrow? Expecting a little precip. Well, not only expecting it, we pray for it. Because you read the paper this morning, the Dust Bowl may return. And if you look at the map, we're included in part of that Dust Bowl. That's all we need. So we pray for precipitation. We need it. It's been a very, very, very dry year. Spring break. People are traveling far and wide. Our kids are up at the ski area doing some skiing, we hope, safely. And having a great time together and enjoying each other's company. And you and I are gathered here in retreat as well. And I hope today is a change of pace, because I promised that I was going to bring a short sermon today. And that's the title. What? I mean, I'm trying to keep in the spirit of the spring break. Don't hurt my feelings. I was getting caught up in it. Since I couldn't be away, I thought I'd offer everybody else a break. Now, no, really, I understand there were some people begging me to go all out and deliver a 45-minute sermon. I said, no, this is a different kind of a day. Short sermon because of spring break. It makes sense to me. So I will not disappoint you. Today's scripture lesson includes a verse very near and dear to all of us. In fact, it's my opinion that when you take a look at scripture in general, there are only a few passages of scripture, if we were called upon, that we could recite right off the top of our heads. I mean, we do like everyone to know that we read the Bible religiously, no pun intended. And that we understand what Scripture says, and that we are in tune with God's Word in very many ways. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, and if I were to ask you to recite something of Scripture this morning, I'm not sure what you would latch a hold of. Probably it might be, "Oh God, help me." No, more than likely it would be, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Or it might be a passage of Scripture that comes from the question, what are the greatest commandments? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responded, what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is just like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. You may have that in your mind as something, yeah, if somebody were to ask me to defend my faith and to tell about my faith journey, I might use that passage of Scripture. Well, another one that we often use, and we have learned it at an early, early age, so much so that by the time we reach teens and older, it just sort of flows off of our lips. It's just rote. And sometimes we don't even remember what we said. You know how it goes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's a passage of Scripture. Yeah. And so you can use that when people want to know Scripture. Just recite the Lord's Prayer to them. And they'll get it. And then today's Scripture lesson is also important, John 3:16. Now, before I begin my sermon, I want to set the stage. I want to set the stage for today's Scripture. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord God, touch us with your grace this day as we seek to understand your holy word and be guided by it. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If we're going to adequately look at today's Scripture, we're going to start off at chapter 3, the first verse. That's where it really begins, and it's pretty exciting. This is about the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, who wants to talk to Jesus. And he comes at nighttime to visit with Jesus. Now, why he came at nighttime, I don't know. We have all different kinds of ideas about why he came. Well, some of those ideas, well, we'll take a look at them after we figure out just who Nicodemus was. I mean, he was some of the upper crust. He was conservative in his beliefs, but he was steadfast in his faith. He was interested in Jesus' teaching, or he wouldn't have made those plans to come out in the evening to talk with the Master. As a Pharisee, he had pretty firm beliefs, strict ideas as far as his faith was concerned. A little bit different than the Sadducees. They were a little less rigid and a little more political in everything they did. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, member of the ruling council, otherwise known as the Sanhedrin. And he was interested in the prevailing doctrines of the time. He was interested in all that was going on in the community, including what he was hearing about Jesus. And so he made an appearance with Jesus. Why in the world he came in the first place? Probably to understand more fully Jesus' mission and ministry. I mean, there were a lot of rumors about him. I want to know something for myself, he said, so I have to catch up with him. And the fact that he came at night may have been that he was just timid. I mean, he was a little bashful going out in public to talk with Jesus in the daytime when everyone else was around. And so he made an effort to see him at night. I'd like to believe that Nicodemus was doing it for another reason. Because you don't see him showing any sign of anger or hostility when he comes to talk to Jesus. He was genuinely interested in a conversation with Jesus. I really believe the only thing he was thinking about is that I want to talk with this Jesus at a time other than when everybody else is around. So if I can catch him a few moments, maybe in the evening, we could have time to chat together without a whole lot of other people listening in. An interesting conversation must have taken place. It's not all recorded, but some of it is. And when Jesus said this, one must be born from above of water and the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God, an interesting dialogue must have ensued. There is no telling what they talked about and what questions Nicodemus had for Jesus. And then in John 3:14, Jesus refers directly to a story in the Pentateuch, in the book of Numbers. Now, Nicodemus would know all about this because he was well-versed in Scripture. And this is an interesting story. This is the kind of a story that kids latch on to. And science fiction folks latch on to. An interesting story from the book of Numbers. Have you read it lately? No, most of us haven't. Who was this? Somebody's cell phone was not turned off. Or else that was God speaking. Numbers 21:4-9 is a story of serpents in the wilderness, which would have been very familiar to Nicodemus. And it is the link which sets the stage, by the way, for my very short sermon. Why don't we take that thing out? I know. But somebody's trying to get a hold of you. This is sort of the link. This little story is the link with where we're going for my short sermon, remember. It's getting shorter all the time. Keep that in mind. The Numbers story finds all the people of Israel in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan after the Exodus. Oh my, they were in a state of disrepair every other way. Their route required them to skirt the land of Edom. And this detour makes the Israelites cranky and brings them complaining to Moses. They complained to Moses before and they're complaining now. They've complained for decades. And they say, why in the world did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And the people whined. And this after four decades of receiving God's provisions. What is this? This doesn't make any sense. Ex-slaves now longing to go back into Egypt? Ex-slaves dreaming of pyramids and pining for Pharaoh and vilifying Moses? I don't get any of this. Why? There's no decent food, no decent water. We can't stomach this stuff anymore. All we hear is manna, manna, manna. I have bacon and manna for breakfast. I have manna and peanut butter sandwiches for lunch. I have manna casseroles for dinner. There's manna every meal, every day. Isn't there something else? The Lord could take no more. He had given them so much. And they were not appreciative of any of it. And so he sent fiery serpents. This is the part where it gets interesting. He sent fiery serpents and poisonous snakes and slithering vipers of every kind among the people. Do you like snakes? Slithering vipers. Some people have them at home. Monty Python kinds of things. Big, big snakes. I don't like snakes. Carolyn and I were out wandering in the wilderness one day before we were married. It was not the same wilderness that the folks on the Exodus were traveling in, but it was the wilderness nevertheless in Pennsylvania. And we were crossing, I think, a creek bed and some rocks when gingerly I was stepping across a rock. And there, right at my feet, was a marvelous, beautiful copperhead snake. The Lord inspired me to move with great haste. We were engaged, but we were almost no longer engaged. Snakes, I don't like snakes at all. Slithering vipers of every kind. The Lord could take it no more. So he sent the snakes, and they crawled out from beneath the rocks, and they swam up under the shore from the water. They were every place where people could be found, snakes could be found, hissing and snarling. Do snakes snarl? And the people were bitten, and many died. And corpses dotted the landscape. This is from the book of Numbers. And the people returned to Moses. "We have sinned," they said. We have sinned. And we've spoke out against God and you. Pray to God, will you? Ask God to take away the snakes and the vipers, all of these wretched things. Get them out of our lives, would you, Moses? And Moses prayed. And God answered. Moses, God said, "I want you to do me a favor." "What's that?" "I want you to make a serpent and put it on a soul. Make a serpent and put it on a pole. I want you to make a fine serpent. Put it there so everyone can see it on this pole. And when you hold up the pole for everyone to see, and people look up at that serpent on the pole, they will be saved. And they will not die." So here we see Moses walking around with a serpent on the pole, this bronze serpent to which everyone looks up, and they are saved. And this was the opening for Jesus right here when he said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." Wow! That's the story he wanted to get across to Nicodemus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, there's just one more thing I want to share with you before I begin preaching. Now, it won't take me long to do this. It's a story that is told by Dan Mazzeo about his father. His father was a first generation Italian American, always known as Pops. And Pops was struggling with metastatic liver and lung cancer. The future looked very, very grim for him. Doctors gave him less than a year to live, but Pops was not disillusioned or in despair because he said, "You know, my beloved wife has predeceased me. My children are all grown up. I'm ready to meet God's call whenever God calls." He was not afraid to die. But something happened. When Pops learned that his only son, Dan, was soon to be a father, it changed him all around. It changed everything. Pops sat up in his bed, and with determination, he said, "I'm going to make that. I'm going to make it." The chemo tortured his system. Most days he wasn't civil. Some days all he could do is mumble "bad day" when he answered the phone and hang up. But when his granddaughter was born, it was a new day. It was a day he wasn't going to miss. He was going to be there if it was the last thing that he did. He insisted on going to the hospital. The 90-minute ride to the hospital tormented him. The pain was worse than he had ever imagined. Dan wheeled him to the maternity ward. Pop's arms were so weak, they couldn't even hold the baby, a newborn baby. So Dan had to hold the baby for him. But Pop did what he came to do. Pop had something in his mind, and he was there to do it. And he leaned over, looking at that baby Dan was holding. And he kissed the baby and said, "Sheila Mary Grandpa loves you very much. Remember kissing your grandchildren with words similar to that? Sheila Mary, Grandpa loves you very, very much. Within seconds, Pops dozed off. Within an hour, he was back in the car, and within days, he died. What kind of love is this that endures pain and ignores sleep and resists death just to give one kiss? We call it agape love. A love that bears semblance to God's love. Oh, it's not the same, but it gets about as close as we can understand it as human beings. It's only a semblance. I like the way Max Lucado put it when he said this: our finest love is a preschool watercolor in comparison to God's Rembrandt. It's a vacant lot dandelion next to his garden rose. His love stands sequoia strong, and our best attempts bend like weeping willows. God's love is almost beyond our understanding, beyond definition. But it explains so much when we think about it, when our minds drift. It explains so much. A pregnant peasant girl. Ah, now I know. A lad learning carpentry, a quest in the wilderness, a journey with a dozen, weeping over the holy city, a meal with instructions, a cross he bore, a tomb that radiates emptiness, and a visit on the Emmaus Road. All of this is God's love. You see, your goodness can't win it, and your badness can't lose it, but you can resist it. That's the story of our lives. No matter what you do, it's always going to be there. That's the message we need to tell others. We want a message to give people to the world. It's a very simple one. John has said it well. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Okay. I am now prepared for my sermon. Now, I know you've been waiting for a while, but it's a short sermon. I guarantee you, remembering sermons is like remembering ancient history. They flee very rapidly, sometimes even before they're over. Most assuredly, by the time we leave church. And sometimes there are little snippets, words or things like that we may remember. But by and large, we forget. I want to give you a sermon this morning to remember. All the stuff I've said up to this point in time really doesn't matter because that wasn't my sermon. My sermon is couched in a very few words. And this is it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you remember nothing else in 10 years, but that sermon, you will have enough to put you in good stead in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world which so desperately needs it. A very simple message, and one which most of us, at some time or another, have learned by heart. Take it with you, because this is the good news of Jesus Christ for us today. Amen. I told you, my sermon wasn't going to be long.